Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Well, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 11. That's where we're going to be today, looking at one verse, just one verse today, and we're continuing our series that we're calling Shift. And if you've been here the last two Sundays, or you've picked us up on Facebook or listened to the podcast, you know that we've been talking about how we can make certain shifts in our thinking, in our attitudes, in our behavior, in our approach to God and His Word, and how those shifts, sometimes minor shifts, can have a great result given enough time. And we've been looking at different things. We've looked at loving people boldly, and we've looked at when we love someone boldly, or we show the love of Christ in a very bold way, how that affects us and how that affects those around us. And we've just kind of been walking through these ideas. Last week we talked about anxiety and talked about dealing with anxiety, and today I want us to look at resentment. Now, I know some of you are saying, if I'd known it was going to be about resentment today, I might have just gotten another hour of sleep. But, you know, we lost an hour, so you just might, I could have gained another hour. But I'm glad you're here this morning. And I want us to talk about this idea of when we do battle with resentment, when we're overcoming resentment, when we're facing that resentment, and we allow God's Word to show us what we should do if we are facing that resentment, and how can we overcome that? How can we do battle with resentment? The word resentment, it might be helpful to know, that very word comes from two words, and originally the idea was resentment is to feel something again. Re means again, and then the latter part of the word, what comes from the root that means to feel. So when you experience resentment, you are actually feeling something again. And if you've ever experienced resentment, you know that is the case, that you relive certain things. Now, I don't have a hard and fast litmus test as to how can you tell if you're living with resentment, but I do know some things are true. You can look at what is your response when you hear that person's name. Because sometimes someone just brings up a person's name, and if you have resentment toward that person, immediately there is that feeling again inside. There's that anger, or there's that sadness, or there's that disappointment, or there's the sense of betrayal that just sort of bubbles up inside of you. So what do you do when you, what's your response when you hear that person's name? What are your repeated thoughts? What are your thoughts that you repeat again and again and again as you think over certain times in your life or certain circumstances where it led you to practice resentment? And then what are your recurring conversations? Whenever you start talking to someone, you can often tell if someone is dealing with resentment because they'll start talking and you're talking about a topic that is completely and totally off subject. Doesn't have anything to do with what a person experienced that led to resentment. And as you start talking, or maybe as another person starts speaking, you find yourself going down this path, and sometimes resentment can very skillfully allow you to just, and sometimes not so skillfully, sometimes very bluntly, but just very skillfully allow you to just kind of weasel your way back around to that hurt and circle around that hurt again in the conversation. And you may have been there yourself. You may have done that. You may have talked to someone who is resentful, and they just keep talking about the same thing over and over and over again, the same person over and over and over again, the same event over and over again, even though it may be years in the past. So today, as we look at God's Word, I want us to look at this idea of ending resentment, and I want us to look at one verse out of Mark chapter 11. It's verse 25, and I want us to look at these words of Jesus. Now, before I read this, let me give you the context. The context is Jesus is talking to his disciples about faith and answered prayer. And he's saying, if you're asking and you're asking in faith, then God hears and God answers. And then he gives a warning in verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Let's pray. Lord God, today as we come before you, I know that in a room this size with this number of people, and I know with the people who also listen online or listen later, that there's someone who is bound to be wrestling with resentment, and if not right now, they have, and if not right now, or if not in the past, they definitely will face it in the future. So Father, I'm just asking that today that you would speak to us from your word. I'm asking that you would show us how to end resentment. And I'm asking that you would give us the strength to do so. And I pray that you would give us ears to hear. And that as we read your truth, that we wouldn't neglect your word. But we also wouldn't reject your word simply because it's hard. So you give us your wisdom and your strength, your endurance, and ears to hear and hearts to obey. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Well, when you read Jesus' words, he's talking about the context of prayer, and he says, and whenever you're praying, look back at verse 25, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone. Now, the first thing that we find, if we're going to end resentment, we're going to make the shift to end resentment, the first thing we have to understand is this principle. Forgiven people forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. If you have anything against anyone, Jesus says you're to forgive. Why? Because you've been forgiven. And forgiven people, people who are forgiven, they forgive others. Forgiven people forgive people. And so we are to forgive others because we have been forgiven so great a debt. How can we withhold forgiveness if God himself did not withhold forgiveness from us whenever we came and we asked God's forgiveness? If you look there on your worship guide, I gave you a couple of verses here. Very similar. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Then again, in Colossians chapter 3, put on them as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. We find that word in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. So also you must forgive. It's a command. We are commanded to forgive. Forgiven people forgive people. God has forgiven us, and as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Forgiving one another in Ephesians, as God in Christ forgave you. Now here is the temptation. The temptation is to say, ah, but yes. To whom is Paul writing? He's writing to the church at Ephesus. He's writing to the church at Colossae. And he is talking about within the body of believers, he's talking about forgiving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Then we make this semi-attempt or semi-logical attempt at an argument, and we say, so he's talking about forgiving people within the church. He doesn't say about anybody else. And we sort of dust our hands and say, well, I don't have to forgive those people because they're not in the church. But then you look at Jesus' words there in Mark chapter 11. If you have anything against anyone, anything at all against anyone at all, that is a very large blanket statement. Anything at all, no matter how big, no matter how small. No matter if it's in the recent past or the distant past. No matter if it was done to you or your family member. If it was just something that was done that was an attitude, something that was done as an intentional act of betrayal, something that was done as an accident, something that was done as just some little minor social snub. Anything against anyone, someone who is in the church, someone at work, someone who passes you on the street, someone who cuts you off in traffic, any of those things, if you have anything against anyone, forgive. Now remember, in the context, Jesus is talking about faith and answered prayers. And he's drawing this line where he's saying, if you are living with resentment and unforgiveness, it will impact your prayer life. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe none of you ever struggle with resentment. But there have been numerous times where I have been praying, and I love praying. I do. I love the act of praying. I love everything about praying. I love talking about praying. I love praying about praying. Lord, I do. I'm serious. There are times that I'm praying, and I don't say this to try to sound super spiritual. I dig praying. And there are times that I am praying, and I'm praying, God, I'm praying that you will teach me how to pray even better and deeper and know you in a deeper level. I mean, I pray about praying. But here's what happens sometimes. I'm praying, and I'm praying about things, and I'm going through a prayer list, and I'm praying. I'm praying about things that are on my heart. And as I'm praying, it's as though God, by the Holy Spirit, says, hey, let's talk about this person. I won't talk about that person. I'm enjoying my prayer time. We talk about that person, it's going to disrupt my joy that I'm having. Have you ever been there? And God's like, no, you really need to deal with this. I don't want to deal with that. I like going in this direction. Can't we just leave them alone? And God keeps bringing up certain things because he wants us to address that. He wants us to let certain things go. He wants us to understand that forgiven people forgive people. Whenever I forgive another person, we are giving evidence that we ourselves have been forgiven. So if we are going to exercise this faith and if we are going to end resentment, we have to understand that as forgiven people, we are called to forgive others. Now, I understand that's hard, which brings us to the next point. The depth of your faith. The depth of your faith will determine the reach of your forgiveness. The depth of your faith will determine the reach of your forgiveness. Look at what Jesus says. He makes the segue. He says, forgive if you have anything against anyone. And then he references our Father who's in heaven. God the Father who is in heaven, recognizing that God is God over all things and God is enthroned above all the earth, and he is there in heaven in a position of power and authority and might. And so that's where God resides. And now understanding that, we understand that God is our Father and he is in heaven and he is in control of all things. And if our Father is in heaven and he is in control of all things, then we have to understand that the reach of our forgiveness, that is hinging upon the depth of our faith. Do we truly believe God is who he is and he will do what he says he will do? And if we operate from that perspective, then we will forgive because forgiveness is an act of faith. When we forgive, we are releasing our control over something and giving it to God. Now, let me give you the truth here. We withhold forgiveness because we in some way think that if I don't forgive, then I'm going to hurt that other person. If I don't forgive, that person won't have any peace. If I don't forgive, then I have some sort of control over that person. When the reality is not that. The reality is, when I don't forgive that person, I am the one who is held captive. When I don't forgive that person, I am the one without peace. When I do not forgive this person, resentment is controlling me. I'm not controlling that person by withholding forgiveness, but my resentment controls me. So I have to operate from a place of faith. You have to operate from a place of faith. forgiven people forgive people, but also people of faith forgive. And the depth of our faith will determine the reach of our forgiveness. Look with me in Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Paul writes, "Beloved, never," another blanket statement, "never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." It's a passage from the Old Testament that's repeated in Hebrews chapter 10. "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God." Some translations say, "Give it to the wrath." Some translations say, "Leave room for God." I like that. Leave room for God. Leave room for God to operate. Give it over. Turn it over. Leave it with God. Entrust it to His care. Entrust that hurt, that resentment, that feeling again. Leave it with God as an act of faith. Put it on the altar and leave it. I mentioned last week, sometimes one of my issues is I like to leave things on the altar, but then I go back and check it from time to time. You ever do this? "Lord, I'm leaving this with you. I'm so thankful that you're taking it from me." Then you leave it for like maybe half a day, and then you want to go back and just pick it up again. "No, don't mind me. I'm just going to leave it here. I just want to touch it again and feel it again and smell that hurt again and get another jolt of that resentment, and I'm going to put it back down, and I'm going to go away again, and then a little while later, I'm going to go pick it up again." Leave it. Leave it there as an act of faith. Leave it with God. God is big enough to handle it. In fact, God is the only one who's big enough to handle it. That's why we deal with a lot of this resentment, because we are unwilling to relinquish something that we ourselves can't handle. God can handle it. Now, here's what we think. This is what we think. And I know some of you are probably thinking this right now, because I've thought it before. We think this. What's going to happen is that if I give this over to God, then they may not get what is coming to them. If I turn this over to God, then I am releasing the opportunity for me to bring it back around on them one day. And if I relinquish that claim, then who's to say but what God won't just forgive them? What if God forgives them? What will happen then? And then that's not fair, and I'm the one who's hurt. And we think that sometimes. Here's the question. Do we believe that God is righteous? Righteousness means not only is that an internal quality of being holy, but righteousness also means that you always do right. You always do the right thing. Do we believe God is righteous? If God is righteous, that means He will always do the right thing, the best thing for His kingdom. And if that means forgiving someone, then that will happen. If that means allowing consequences, that will happen. There are always consequences for our actions. And sometimes I want to say, yeah, but think about the consequences of forgiving that person. If you forgive that person, think about those consequences. God, think about those consequences. But think about the consequences of not forgiving someone. Do you think the cost of forgiving someone is high? Think about the cost of not forgiving someone. That's a far greater cost that we'll end up paying. Do we trust God with our circumstances? Do we trust God with our situations? Do we trust God with the past hurts? Do we trust God with the difficulties that we endure? Do we trust God with it? Do we trust Him enough to forgive? Because that depth of my faith, if my faith is shallow, if my faith is weak, then I'm not going to have a very wide reach of forgiveness. My faith is narrow and my faith is shallow. I'm going to have a very narrow, shallow sense of a need to forgive. Peter writes about Jesus on the cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. "When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly." Jesus didn't have to get back at anybody. He trusted his Father. He entrusted himself. You know, there's a difference in trusting and entrusting. There's a big difference. There are people you may trust, but you don't entrust yourself to them. There are times where you can trust someone, and then there are times where you entrust yourself to someone. Jesus did not just trust his Heavenly Father, he entrusted himself to his Heavenly Father. He put himself, he put the entire situation, he put everything that was going on into the very capable hands of his Father in heaven. And that is what we are to do. We are to entrust ourselves. We are to entrust that situation. We are to entrust that person who hurt us into the hands of our Father who judges justly, who judges rightly. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes. Yes, he will. Always and always and always, our Father in heaven will judge justly. So you can leave it. You can leave it with them. And you don't have to experience the residue of resentment either, because you're not worried about it. I talked to someone a while ago, and the person made this statement. He said, "You know what? I have forgiven that person that hurt me." I said, "That is great. I have forgiven them completely. Wonderful. And God has given me that freedom. That's great. And I'm just trusting that God will bring about what he wants to bring about. Great." And then they said this, "But I just pray that I have a front row seat for when he brings it down on them." Okay. Wow. Because God is just. Well, right. And it's true. No one gets away with anything. There are always consequences. Absolutely. But when you truly end resentment, you don't even care to know. It's okay with you however it goes, because you're free. You don't have to worry about it. Some of you may be sitting here this morning, and there may be something, there may be a name. When I started talking about this, God may have brought a name to your mind, and you just sort of winced internally. Or maybe you even winced physically just thinking about that person. You can be free of that. Here's something that I had to come to grips with. That there are people that I would say, "I don't like what they did. I don't like their attitude. I don't like what they did to hurt me. I don't like what they said about me. I don't like any of these things." And then whenever I really sit down and think about it for long enough, I realize that when I'm withholding forgiveness, it's like I am binding myself to that person and letting myself be dragged around by them wherever they go. Yeah, I don't enjoy that much. I shouldn't. That's weird. I can be free of that by an act of faith, and that act of faith being forgiveness. The last thing is this, and probably the hardest thing in this passage, it's found in the last part of the verse. "So that forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." An unforgiving heart bears the consequences of unrepentant sin. An unforgiving heart bears the consequences of unrepentant sin. If we have unrepentant sin and the unrepentant sin of unforgiveness in our heart, then we're going to bear that. Listen to these two verses or two passages. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. This is right after Jesus gives them the model prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, 14. He says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That's a frightening statement. God will forgive your trespasses if you forgive others, but if you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you your trespasses. You find a very similar thing mentioned after Jesus gives the very famous parable of the unforgiving servant. Just a reminder, Jesus tells a parable when he's asked about how many times should we forgive. Jesus tells this story about there is a servant who owes a huge amount of money and begs for mercy from his master, and his master forgives him of this great debt. And the servant who owed this great amount of debt then goes out, finds a fellow servant who owes him a very small amount, and lays his hands on him and demands payment, and then has him thrown into debtor's prison until he can be paid. And the master finds out about it and brings the servant back who's unforgiving and turns him over to the torturers, it says, until everything was repaid. And then Jesus follows up with this statement. Matthew 18:35. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. An unforgiving heart bears the consequences of unrepentant sin. Now, what are we saying? Are we saying that if you do not forgive someone else, then God's going to say, well, that's it. You lose your salvation. I'm going to withdraw that. No, we are eternally secure in Christ. That's not what he is saying. But he is saying, if you are not forgiving, because that's a command, if we are not forgiving others, then we are living in unrepentant sin. And God does not forgive unrepentant sin, because that's unrepentant. He doesn't. That day-to-day cleansing. This is why in the context of prayer, our unforgiveness will cause a break in our clear communication with God. We cannot communicate clearly with God, and we can't hear clearly from him if we are living in unrepentant sin. That includes the unrepentant sin of unforgiveness. And so we must operate from a place of forgiveness, because otherwise we're going to bear the consequences of unrepentant sin. Now, sometimes we think this, well, there are consequences of unrepentant sin, but really what I need is I need a healing. I just need an emotional healing and a mental healing, and then I will forgive. Now, that's getting the cart ahead of the horse. That's not the way it works. You don't experience healing and then, okay, well, now I'm going to forgive. You experience that inner healing by forgiveness, by that act of faith. We often want to wait until we feel like forgiving. Well, I'm not going to forgive that person because I'd be a hypocrite, because I don't feel like forgiving. Do you think that Jesus actually felt like going to the cross? No. I mean, tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off and you feel like, wow, it feels like it's an hour earlier, because it is, right? You're not going to feel like probably rolling out of bed. We all do things we don't feel like doing. It's an act of faith. We can't wait until we feel like forgiving. And we say, I'd be a hypocrite if that was the case. Well, are you going to be a hypocrite when you get up tomorrow to go to work when you don't feel like it? That's not being a hypocrite. That's just discipline and doing the hard stuff. That's not hypocrisy at all. Your feelings, they are not the barometer as to what reality is. Not at all. God's word is the standard of truth, not our feelings. And so we will bear the consequences of unrepentant sin if we have an unforgiving heart. Notice what Jesus says. He says, so my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. It's to come from the inside out. We are to operate from a place of forgiveness. And remember, in that context, he's talking about turning that person over to the torturers. God ever turn you over to the torturers when you have been unforgiving? And that resentment builds up inside of you and it just tortures you. It just keeps rolling you over the coals over and over and over again. It doesn't have to be so. It really doesn't have to be so. You know, they say the thing about change. They say that people remain the same until the pain of remaining the same exceeds the pain of change. As long as you're going to, or I'm sorry, they will remain the same as long as the pain of remaining the same is less than the remain of change. when your pain of remaining the same gets high enough, then you're willing to change. But people will remain exactly the same. We'll stay in resentment. We'll just stay there until that pain of staying there becomes so great that we say, you know what, it's just not worth it. I'm willing to change. And some of you, you may be past that time. It may be time to respond in obedience to God. God can set you free from that. God will give you that power. God will help you in this. But we have to make an act of the will. We have to make a choice to forgive someone. There was a man in World War II. His name was Ernie Casuto. Ernie Casuto was a Dutch Jew. Ernie Casuto had been on the run for about 2.5 years when the Nazis caught him. They captured him. They had captured his fiancée, Hetty. And they put them in a concentration camp. Hetty died in one of the gas chambers. And he didn't even get to get married to Hetty. She was put to death before they could be married. And he was there in his cell, there in the concentration camp, and he was filled with so much anger, so much resentment, so much bitterness, so much unforgiveness. And he writes about how he started thinking about Christ, because both he and Hetty were Messianic Jews. They were originally of Jewish faith. They were of Jewish descent, but they had come to understand that Jesus Christ is the Messiah as prophesied in the Old Testament, and they had placed their faith in Christ. And Ernie Casuto was there in his cell, and he came to this kind of confrontation with God. And God just was dealing with him and reminding him of different verses and reminding him that he had to forgive. And he didn't want to forgive. But he finally released control of it to God. And he said he had such a freedom, even in his prison cell, even in that cell in that concentration camp, he had freedom in his heart because he wasn't consumed with that anger and bitterness and resentment. After the concentration camps were liberated, some years went by, and he got a phone call. And it was from the wife of a commandant who served in that concentration camp. A Nazi commandant was now, years later, lying in bed with a very contagious disease, dying. And he wanted to see Ernie Casuto. So Ernie wrestled with this, and Ernie's father said, "You should go." So Ernie went. And he walked into this bedroom, and there in the bed was this former powerful man lying there, shriveled and frail and dying of this disease. And as Ernie Casuto, without a word, stood there at this man's bedside, he says that he sensed God say, "Kiss him." Kiss him, he thought. He has a contagious disease. Kiss him. He said, and he just sensed God say, "I'm going to protect you. Kiss him." So Ernie Casuto lowered his head and kissed this Nazi commandant on the forehead. And this old man burst into tears and started begging him for forgiveness. And Ernie Casuto writes that it was there that he realized this man did not need his forgiveness. This man needed Christ's forgiveness. And there, while he lay in that bed, Ernie Casuto shared with this man how Christ came and died for our sins. And there, before he died, that Nazi gave his life to Christ. Because Ernie Casuto went and was obedient to this incredibly painful process sometimes of forgiveness. Now, you probably aren't facing a Nazi commandant who has taken the life of one of your loved ones. And you may not be dealing with someone who calls you up and who is asking for forgiveness because that person is on their deathbed. They may never ask for forgiveness, and they may not be on their deathbed. That person may be doing quite well, in fact. But whatever the case, we are all in need of forgiveness from Christ. And just like Ernie Casuto, we can offer that forgiveness just as Christ gave us that forgiveness and offered that forgiveness freely to us. We can offer that forgiveness to other. Forgiven people forgive people. If you're forgiven, then we need to forgive. And if you're withholding that forgiveness, thinking it's going to harm someone else, it is only going to eat you up. And I can say that from somebody who's lived through that. There have been times in my life that I've been so consumed with resentment that I've wasted years in the past just stewing over that resentment or that past hurt. It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. I'll end with this. Some of you think you can never forgive. There was a time in my life that I had to forgive, and I remember thinking, there's no way I can forgive. And so I started praying every day, started praying. Anytime those thoughts came up, I would pray, God, I am choosing to forgive. Help me to forgive. And that was my prayer. I am choosing now to forgive. Help me to forgive. Now that first day, I bet I said that little prayer 500 times. That's probably not an exaggeration. And I can't tell you how long it took. But over time, the number of times I'd pray that little prayer during the day got less and less and less and less and less and less and less. Until I remember this. I do remember there was a night that I laid down in bed, and it was some time after I had started this really hard process of confronting resentment and asking God to help me to forgive. And I remember lying down in bed, and I remember closing my eyes, and then I remember starting back to full awakeness. And I remember in that moment thinking, I have not thought about that circumstance all day today. And can I just tell you, that was one of the best days of my life, because I had been living in it so long. And to be able to say, I didn't think about it at all today. And then I realized, if I didn't think about it all today, you know what? There can be another day where I don't think about it at all. And another day, and another day, and another day, and another day. And you can too. You may not feel like it right now. You can. I promise you, you can. By the power of God, you can forgive others, and you can end resentment. Let's pray. Lord God, I don't know where anybody is here today in the process of forgiving or in the depths of resentment. I have no clue. But I trust that there's a reason that you wanted this to be the topic today. And God, I just lift up in this moment anybody here that's been living in unforgiveness. God, I know how miserable that is. And you don't want your kids to live in that misery. Not only is it a matter of your love for us in that you don't want us to live there, as long as we're living there, we don't have clear communication and unbroken fellowship with you. It impacts the way that we hear you. It impacts our prayers. It impacts the way we understand your word. We can't live in continual resentment and continual fellowship at the same time. We can't. There's more on the line than just us feeling good or us dealing with stress. It's our daily walk with you as our Father. God, there may be some people here today, maybe listening today, they're having a hard time forgiving because they've never been forgiven by you. They've never made a decision to follow you. Father, I pray that they would recognize that there's nothing anybody's ever done to them compared to what each of us has done to you. Father, I pray that today would be the day that in faith that they would come to you and they would receive the gift of eternal life that you're offering because of Jesus' death on the cross. We can know you. We can have a home in heaven with you. We can be transformed into your likeness. Not that we'll be deity, but that you're going to make us perfect, where we won't have a desire to sin ever again. And that's what we have to look forward to on that day when we're in heaven with you. But God, right now, right here, we wrestle with resentment, we wrestle with unforgiveness, with bitterness, with anger, with betrayal, and all manner of things that get thrown against us. Father, I pray that we would lay that down, we would trust you with it, we would entrust ourselves in these situations and the people who might have done us wrong to you. Father, I pray that you would grant us your freedom in that. I pray as forgiven people, we would forgive people. And I pray that our act of forgiveness would be an incredible demonstration of the depth of our faith, and that we wouldn't have unforgiving hearts that bear unrepentant sin, but that we would confess our sin freely and quickly before you so that our hearts would be filled with forgiveness and with compassion. And we're mindful that we all have scars, and we're mindful that Christ has scars, and that so often scars remind us of compassion. So, Father, I pray today, no matter what scars we may be bearing, they would remind us to be compassionate, but they would also remind us that you are completely and totally merciful. We give ourselves to you now. We commit this time to you. Whatever decision needs to be made, it's all about you. And we pray that you'd be pleased with our sacrifices. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. In this time, if you want to come up to the altar and pray, if you would like one of us to pray with you, we have people here who are more than willing to pray with you about anything that you need to pray about. If you have a decision that you need to make, joining the church. If you want to talk to someone about how can you know Christ, how can you be forgiven, we'd be more than happy to share that with you. You come as God leads.